This week we have another parable about prayer. Last week we talked about the widow and the unjust judge and how prayer is all about perseverance and about keeping the faith alive no matter what. And this week we have a different kind of parable about prayer. A parable that asks us to consider our hearts. What kind of attitude do we have when we pray? Now, prayer is a wonderful thing. Prayer is a wonderful way to spend the time that God has given us. In each day, we have 24 hours to choose how we will spend our time. And the Pharisee and the tax collector in this parable have both chosen to spend their time, the gift of God's time, they've chosen to spend their time in the temple praying. And that's a wonderful way to spend our time. But what is the problem is that the Pharisee and the tax collector have very different mindsets. Their hearts are in very different places. The Pharisee has been trained in a certain way. The Pharisees in Jesus' time were religious leaders of the day. They followed all of God's laws because that's what they had. They had the law of Moses, and they believed that they could be close to God. That's what they wanted. They wanted to feel close to God. And the way that they felt close to God was by making sure they followed all of God's laws given to Moses, all 613 of them. And that was a lot of work. It required a lot of careful thinking each moment of every day, making sure that you were in step and in line. And this one Pharisee in Jesus' parable has really let his devotion go to his head. He's let his devotion to God go to his head, and he has begun to judge others for their lack of perceived devotion. He thinks he is better than others because he is more faithful than others, but what he does not recognize is that the tax collector, whom he calls out by name and says, "Lord, I thank you that I'm better than that guy over there." The tax collector is also spending his time in the temple praying to God. So they are both in the temple together. They are on equal footing together. And this is about our hearts when it comes to prayer. And not just when it comes to prayer, but our hearts when it comes to looking at those around us. How do we perceive those around us? Do we look at them and say, "Oh, thank God I'm not like that guy"? Or do we say, "God, let me focus on me. Let me be righteous in your eyes. Have mercy on me." Today is Reformation Sunday, and so I bring up John Calvin. It's like once a year thing. But John Calvin is often known for his philosophies and his theology on predestination, the idea that God has already chosen. Before time even began, God chose who would be saved. And this is often controversial. People don't like thinking that, oh, God knows already, because then they say, well, why bother? But as John Calvin was writing his Institutes of Christian Religion, about this thick. If you want to borrow mine, you're more than welcome to. But as he was writing, predestination came at the very end. It wasn't the central theology that he wanted to impart. Instead, he put predestination at the end, this idea that God already knows who was chosen, the idea that God already can name who are the elect. He puts it at the end as a reminder to the church that he is serving to say, live as if you are one of the elect. Trust that God has chosen you for salvation. But don't get caught up worrying about whether others have been chosen too. It's kind of a reminder that our lives are meant to be filled with God's Spirit, that we are meant to live out the teachings of Christ, and what we are not meant to do is spend our time thinking, well, who's in and who's out? John Calvin puts it at the end, and he says, it's God's choice who's in and who's out. All you can do is live as Christ commanded you to live. Because the minute that we start trying to say, thank God I'm not like that guy over there, thank God I'm not like that woman over there, that's the moment that we start to figure out that that person is also covered in God's grace. And Calvin said, you can't question who is covered in God's grace and who does not get God's grace. It is not your choice. It is God's, and God is in control. And some of the people that you think don't have the grace of God actually are full of God's grace. And maybe Calvin had read this parable as he thought about this, thought about the Pharisee going and praying in the temple, thank God I am not like other people. Thank God I am better than others, that I have more of God's favor than others. But Jesus tells us it is the tax collector, the one who beats on his chest and says, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. He is the one who goes home justified. He is the one who goes home right with God, accepted by God. And this is a parable about the great wideness of God's mercy. God's mercy included a tax collector who was one of the most hated people in ancient Judaic society. The tax collectors worked for the Roman Empire. So they were considered traitors of their people. They worked for the enemy. And they went around and they went door to door and said, give me the money that the empire owes, and whatever they could collect above and beyond what they would give to the Romans, they pocketed. They were basically the mobsters of the ancient world, saying, give me what I want, and you'll be protected. Give me a little bit extra, and I'll have your back. They were the mobsters of the ancient world. They were not liked. They were not respected. They were not the kind of people that anyone thought that the Messiah, the Son of the living God, would spend time with, and yet Jesus eats with them. He goes into their homes. He says that they are worthy. One of his own disciples was a tax collector. There is so much grace in this world. God's grace is abundant and ever flowing. God's mercy is never ending. And as we pray, as we give God our time, we remember that that grace and mercy is for each of us, and that grace and that mercy is for those around us too. We are not in control. It's God's decision. God says, mercy for all, grace for all, life for all who call upon my name. So as we pray, we remember that God's grace is abundant, that we are no better than anyone else, and that God's love for all of us is equal. Amen.